morning, friends, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are glad you found your way to this community. You can learn more about how we are church together in your bulletin. There is a calendar and all sorts of announcements about our worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. And as always, if you have a question, don't hesitate to just ask someone around you. During worship is just fine. And if you have any additional questions, there'll be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive any of those questions. And we've got quite a few announcements this morning, so let's get started. Let's hear about a great day yesterday at Church Mouth.
Good morning. I'm Linda Beatty, and the Church Mouse Bazaar went over wonderful. We had a large crowd, and the crafters were really happy. I do want to tell you how we did financially. Not all the numbers are in yet, but I can tell you the snack bar was very well attended. They made over $1,000, and that's great. When we put on the bazaar, we sell spaces. That's how we also make money. And this year, with selling the spaces and we rent the tables, we made $2,800 on that. And the lunch bunch brought in over $700 this year. And we don't have the final figures for the baked food sale, but all total, we're bringing in over $4,600. And of course, we will have a few expenses this year, but being our 40th year, it was well worth it. And I'm so glad that everybody could help the way they did, and it really makes it all come together. And I just want to have one quick announcement on my own, is I would like to introduce my sons. Marty and Ryan, will you please stand up? They came today for my birthday, and it was a total surprise to me, so my tears are tears of joy. And they are taking me, I understand, the three of us are going to go have a class at the Culinary Center in Canandaigua. So we won't be in church for very long, I'm afraid.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Barb Snaith, and I am up here to let you know that the tickets are being sold. They started selling last week. And the next maybe three or four Sundays for the annual Women's Candlelight Dinner. It's going to be held on Tuesday, December 12th at the Whittier Party House. And we're having the wonderful violinist, Ellen Sonnenberg, is going to be our entertainment this year. So if you heard her a few weeks ago, you're going to hear her again that night. We're also going to be collecting items for Willow, which used to be the Alternative Battered Women's Shelter, but it's the same idea. So stop and see me in the fellowship hall. The tickets are $22. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Eric Vail, and I'm here representing the Renewal Ministry team. And after worship this morning, if you would like to have your questions answered about what is renewal, how is it going to be good for our pastor, how is it going to be good for our worshiping community, please stop at the adult lounge after worship, but also that would be after we have some celebration to do this morning. So celebrate and then come get your questions answered. Thanks.
And as Chris and I walk forward, I'd like members of the worship team to please join us in front. Come on, everybody. We are celebrating our music program this morning, and we're so grateful for all that they do provide for us, and we're very appreciative. So we thank Roy and the senior choir. We thank the junior choir. We thank John Am I forgetting? Oh, my. There he is. In the children's choir and all those people that volunteer every summer to make our music flow through the summer, we're very appreciative. And I've forgotten somebody. Mrs. Debbie White, would you join us, please, Mrs. White? We have been remiss. Debbie has done the children's choir for over 30 years. We so appreciate your talent, your kindness, your faithfulness, and the way you share your talent with us through our wonderful children. So thank you so much. And we have a little gift for Debbie. So let's once again thank Debbie for all she has done. Hey, oh, I forgot. Part of the celebration is cake. So there is a lovely cake down in the fellowship hall, and help yourselves. It's a big one, so we need lots of people to join us. See you later.
Barb, and thanks again to our wonderful staff musicians, all of our choirs, junior, adult, youth, and everyone who participates in the music here at GPC. And you have a chance to worship a bit differently. Don't forget, next Sunday, we are going to be having a brunch worship. So bring a potluck brunch item. That opens it up pretty well. A dish to share. We're going to be worshiping down in Fellowship Hall. But now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
you are able, for the call to worship. I will sing about the wonders of your love forever, O God. I will declare that your love stands firm. Blessed are those who know you as their God, for they walk in the light of your presence.
Please keep your hymnal close, as our words of assurance today will be sung, and you may remain seated. We'll be singing song number 654, once with the organ and once a cappella. But let us first join our voices together in a time of prayer. Gracious Creator, you have given us so much, but too often we take those gifts for granted, or as something to which we are entitled. You call us to live in caring community, but too often we place our wants and needs first, with those of others as a distant second. You call us to share your gifts with the world around us, but we are worried that there may not be enough, and our worrying gets in the way of our sharing. For all the times when we mistreat and misuse your gifts, for all the times we assume we get what we have for ourselves. Forgive us and lead us back to the path of wisdom.
Thank you.
adults can go sit back down. Youth can go sit. I mean, you guys straddle. You can go wherever you want. Kids, I'll take you all down here. And if there are any other children worshiping with us this morning, you're welcome to come forward. Hi. Hi. Thanks. No, you're... Take a seat. I tend to come... Hi. So any other children this morning? Good morning. You all sounded so beautiful. And you know what? I even heard some of our tiny voices who just couldn't keep it inside. They were so excited and wanted to sing too. I know that feeling. And so, guess I was out for a walk the other day in my neighborhood with my dog, and who doesn't like to walk in the cold, but I made her do it anyway. And it was the middle of the afternoon, and I was walking, and I came up behind someone. It was a woman, and she had her earbuds in, and she was listening to music. You know how I knew that? Because she started singing. And she started singing loudly. It did not sound quite as good as you all, but I could tell that her heart was so full of joy. Now, here's the thing. She didn't know I was back there. That happens sometimes. But then the dog started jingle-jangling and making some noise, and it startled her a bit, and she turned around and she said, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I was singing." And I said, "Sorry? Why are you sorry that your voice was full of such great joy?" Sometimes we think that our songs and our voices, we get a little shy about them. But can I tell you a secret? God gave you that voice. God gave you your voice. And the reason that God gave you that voice is to sing praise to God just like you did today. And since God gave you that voice, you know what? God wants to hear that voice. So no matter how shy you might feel about your voice, God wants us to sing out and sing God's praises here at church, in our neighborhoods, everywhere we go. Let God's voice shine through yours. So that's my invitation to you all today. Can we pray together? Would that be okay? Dear God. Oh, a little bit louder. Dear God. There we go. Thank you for my voice. Help me to use it to praise you. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys are awesome. And you have Sunday school today, so go have fun.
Psalm 89. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, "I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David, I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Happy are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. They exult in your name all day long and extol your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel."
second reading of the word today. It comes from the book of Acts. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are the slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." And she kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." And the crowd joined in, attacking them. The magistrates had stripped them of their clothing, ordered them to be beaten with rods. And after they had been given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely, following these instructions. He put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer woke up and saw the prison door open wide, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed the prisoners had all escaped. Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself. We're all here." And the jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And that same hour of the night he took them, washed their wounds. He and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer. Back in the early 1990s, that an image and story caught the imagination of the world. The New York Times Magazine carried this haunting photo of a middle-aged man with long hair and a bushy mustache. He looked kind of like he should be touring for the Grateful Dead, except he was dressed in formal evening attire, complete with the black tails that brushed the concrete rubble beneath him. But just the day before, Vedran Smalivak, the principal cellist for the city opera in Sarajevo, was practicing his cello in an upstairs apartment during the Bosnian War. The city that was, for so many years, the center of arts and culture in Europe, was now transformed into a living hell, torn apart by sniper fire, bombardment, and the nearby hills that overlooked its neighborhoods and streets during the siege of Sarajevo. So across the way from Smilevic's apartment, a line of people waited at one of the city's few remaining bakeries to buy bread. And without warning, an artillery shell fell from the sky and exploded in the midst of the crowd. And the cellist, shaken by the blast, ran to his window and looked through the smoke on a scene of horror. 22 people lay dead. Bread, blood, and bone and bricks lay scattered and mingled together in the pulverized pavement. Now, for Vedran Smilevic, the terror had finally struck close to home, before his very eyes, but he felt helpless to do anything about the fear, the uncertainty that now filled his every day. His beloved city was plunging headlong into chaos and darkness. Tomorrow it might be his own apartment destroyed, but he thought to himself, I'm not a soldier or a politician. What can I really do? Smilevic determined he would do what he knew how to do. He would make music. And so the next day, he dressed in his formal wear as though for a performance, and he took his cello and a small plastic stool. And he walked out amid the rubble where the bombing had taken place. And there, in full public view, Vedran Smilevic played. And he would do so for 22 consecutive days to honor each victim of the bakery bombing. What music did he play? Well, the cellist decided on a sonata, supposedly, though debated, by a Baroque composer, Tommaso Albonini, the Adagio in G minor. And this piece has an interesting history. You see, after the Allies bombed the German city of Dresden in World War II, one of the most fearsome attacks in history, when 1,300 heavy bombers dropped more than 3,900 tons of bombs on the city, destroying 15 square miles of the city's center. It was said that a composer, Rimo Giazzotto, found a fragment of a composition by Albonini in the rubble of the city library. But the fragment only had four notes. But from that small piece of the sonata, Giazzotto composed a work of great beauty and serenity. And Vedran Smilevic was determined that he too would make lovely, tranquil music in the midst of the ugly bedlam that Sarajevo had become. He chose Albonini's Adagio.
In time, Smaljovic became known as the cellist of Sarajevo, though at the time many people thought him foolish, believing that his time spent was such a waste of incredible talent. He used to play in the midst of rubble with few to hear or to appreciate his efforts, but as one person described, he played for human dignity, that is the first casualty of war. Ultimately, he played for life, for peace, for the possibility of hope that exists even in the darkest hour. And I can't help but wonder if this is also why Paul and Silas sang, and if this is why the prisoners who were plunged into the midnight darkness of their jail cells. Because they, too, were opened to a spirit that guided this highly courageous act of solidarity and resistance that recognized their human dignity and offered the possibility of hope. An act that boldly proclaimed that suffering and violence and oppression and death do not have the last word. I can't speak to Smaljovic's faith background, but for Paul and Silas, clearly their songs and their hymns of praise sent a very clear message that no matter how bad things got, there was another reality, one that hangs on to the hope of promises realized, covenants fulfilled, love embodied, and graves emptied. Their hymns surely recalled the faith of ancestors who had held fast to the spirit of love, even in times of trial, to offer thanksgiving and praise to God who remains present through it all. Their songs and music provided for grief and the world's pain and sin, while holding true to proclaiming to the hope that is ours in Christ. Obviously, today, we're not living in the darkness of a jail cell or the remnants of a bombed-out building, but we are living in times where the message is one of anxiety, injustice, fear, and great despair. And while it's incredibly tempting to sit in the silence, Paul and Silas reveal a faith as they raise their voices and call us to a place of courage and faith and trust in God's promises. And we are reminded, no matter how dark, corrupt, and fearful the times may seem, God's word of love calls us new, transformation and new life. And in the midst of the world's call to conform to cynicism and suffering, God's words, through our hymns of praise and thanksgiving, call us to surrender to beauty, truth, justice, mercy. Wherever the word of God's justice and truth and beauty and love are sung, that word continues to live, to bring hope, to give life, to transform the world. Obviously, I have no idea what Paul and Silas were singing from their jail cell. Obviously, it wasn't a hymn. It was written 1,800 years later. But today, perhaps we can hear the echoes of their songs and ours. That no storm can shake my inmost calm, while to the rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can we keep. together in song, we also bring our whole entire selves, our hearts, our days and weeks and months, those prayers of joy and prayers of concern, both for our world, our families and communities. If you have a prayer of joy or concern you'd like to share aloud, just raise your hand and an usher will bring a microphone to you.
Sue Mancini, I just like to say, wow, for our music department, everyone here that enjoyed that music, how about giving them a good round of applause?
Like to thank all of the people that helped on the lunch bunch have such a successful sale this Saturday. And oh, by the way, there's a second thought. On Thursday, Mom and I will be married for 60 years.
Amen. Amen. Happy anniversary.
Hi, Keith Morgan. I like to ask for prayers for my coworker Dave Lennox. I asked for prayers for him earlier while he was fighting his fight with cancer. He's going to lose that fight. And he has a 60-year-old daughter, and he's a single father.
Continued prayers for Dave and his entire family.
Good morning. I have kind of a joy and a prayer. I went on Friday and visited Marge Westfall. And she poked me and said, in a couple weeks, you know, I'm going to be 99.
Oh, my.
I mean, she's so with it, and prayers for her to be able to, I mean, she was, I don't think she wanted to leave. I brought her big chocolate chip cookies like that. But she is trying to plan to come to the women's candlelight dinner. So hopefully that will happen, and she's excited, and I just thought I'd share that.
Prayers for that. Amen.
Peter Derry. Press for two longtime friends of mine who both lost family members this week. I told you a while back about a friend in California who was fighting against lung cancer. He lost that battle, and a dear friend of ours just lost their mother. Prayers for them.
Prayers for those who are grieving.
Bill Lovett, I have a number of requests. My sister-in-law had knee surgery this past week, and she's going through rehab now, but she's in still a lot of pain. My brother-in-law was supposed to have hip surgery, and in his pre-ops they found spots on his lung, so he's going to have part of his lung removed. And my friend Mary, that's been coming with me to church, her brother passed away last week.
Prayers for those who are healing and those who are grieving. And we also have prayers from our children this morning. Prayers from the fourth through sixth graders. Prayers for Church Mouse of joy and having fun and for yummy chicken and biscuits. Amen. Prayers for joy from days off from school and time with friends and family. Prayers for colored hair dye. And also prayers for aunts who are in the hospital, an uncle who has a cut. Prayers of joy for a visit from Oma. Prayers of joy for video games and birthdays. Prayers of joy for report cards. And prayers of thanksgiving for a new Lego set. So cool, it made me create a song. Amen. Let us continue our time of prayer. Maker of melodies, your generosity of grace knows no bounds. It is unfathomable in depth, immeasurable in breadth, and you disturb us, provoke us, challenge us to do the same, to offer resources, gifts, passion, songs, to make right relations, to feed the hungry, to resist evil and stand for justice, to work for the dignity for all people. And we pray that you soften our hearts, open us wider to serve you with energy and imagination. God, we pray now for the brokenness we are aware of in this world. We pray for those who are suffering from illness and grief. God, we offer prayer for the prayers that have no words. And we offer these prayers in the name of Jesus, our brother, our teacher, our redeemer, who also taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And now, in thanksgiving, let us worship God as we offer back a portion of the abundance God has entrusted us with, now as we receive our morning offering.
Let us pray. Dear God, please accept our gifts. We are thankful for your blessings, and we ask that you use this offering so that it will bless others and give them joy during the upcoming holiday seasons. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Good plan. It's about how it works.
All the butter paint in it.
friends. Lift up your hearts, your voices, as we go out into this world singing praises. Praises to our God, the Creator, to Christ, our Sustainer and Redeemer, and to the Holy Spirit who gives us courage to get up and do it again. Alleluia. Amen.